ourselves to our duties, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
I'm planning on going.
Okay. Nice.
All right. So Kyle's fiber.
Uh-oh.
Is no, he's been in the room for a while. And...
No, I just haven't said anything.
Oh, you son of a bitch. Damn you. You're just waiting for us to say bad things about you, huh?
Yeah. I mean, we can do that to your face if you want. I don't know why you feel like you have to be quiet. Yeah. More likely to happen if you speak up. I mean, look at when Jeff started talking.
Doesn't stop you guys from harassing me.
Nothing stops me from harassing you.
Nothing. Nothing.
Yeah. All right. Harry's in the room. Everybody's online. Gersh isn't going to make it. But we are back on the coast of Vlissingen in February 1944. Who can do a quick recap, 2-minute recap of what happened last session? Or should I just do it?
You should do it. Great. I didn't hear any rewards. So.
I don't have the page up yet. So
I've trained you guys the wrong way. So yeah.
That's right.
Fuck you guys. Nothing for you. No soup for you.
Fine.
All right. So yeah, you guys had completed your last mission and had kind of recovered in London over several months. And fast forward, you found yourself on a U.S. cruiser in the North Sea. You've been summoned there by N, and there was apparently some briefing that was going to happen that was going to require your unique expertise in the areas of the strange world of Network N. And naturally, being on a U.S. ship, you came across a number of U.S. service members, and you also were introduced to a Mr. Drew. Mr. Drew is an American. And he seems to be a counterpart or colleague of N's, and seemed to give the signal that Mr. Drew was well-versed or perhaps had the same responsibilities as N does. Perhaps Mr. Drew is running his own agents against the dark forces that you guys are also aligned against. It turns out that the town of Vlissingen, which Hugh and Robert visited a number of years ago as their first mission, has been overrun by occult activity. And also on the U.S. cruiser, you are reintroduced to Jurin Van... what is his fucking name?
I think Jurin's enough.
Vanderpool, yes.
You can't forget a name like Jurin, although we did, but...
Yeah. and Jurin was your contact in Vlissingen back in the day, and he was pleased to see his old friends, but has a tale of woe of how the city is overrun, how he's lost agents, and basically the U.S., Mr. Drew and N have come up with a plan that essentially would impose martial law on the town, and they've come up with 5 different missions that will be undertaken at about the same time. And conveniently, the 5 player characters are each involved in one of them. And so there is a mission that will search for, I don't know how to explain it, bad goings on in some smugglers' tunnels outside of town. A couple of squads of Marines are going to approach by rowboat and look for citizens of Vlissingen that are up to no good. We've got a couple of raids that are going to be going on. We've got some military units that are going to raid a mansion that is perhaps the headquarters of the family that is kind of running the cult in town. Whereas another set of military units are going to raid the Esoteric Order of Dagon, which is the cult headquarters itself. And what is that? That's 1, 2, 3. We've got a submarine mission where Hugh will be participating. Those mission orders are a little bit unclear at this point up till now. And then finally, there are 3 U.S. Navy ships, a cutter and 2 patrol boats that are going to patrol the harbor area or outside of the harbor area of town, trying to prevent anybody from escaping. And basically, the raids are going to capture important leaders. They're going to drive other citizens to checkpoints where they'll be screened. And then, like I said, there are some ships that are going to prevent anybody from leaving. That's the general plan. And in the last session, Robert and his colleagues that were the Marines on the rowboats made their way through the initial parts of the smugglers' caves. And along the way, they ran into debris. People were getting pulled underwater and torn up by creatures. Large dark masses were swimming under boats. And I think we ended it by discovering that a handful of one or perhaps even 2 Marines on the boats had disappeared without a trace. So bad goings on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's about the gist of it. Anybody remember anything else they wanted to bring up?
No, that was pretty good.
No, pretty right. Good.
Fair enough. 3 sanity points for me. Thank you.
That brings you up to 3.
Yeah, exactly. I have 3. All right. So let's hop on over to S-19, the submarine.
Which number is this?
This is 5. Number 5. This is okay. Number 5. So hopefully you guys are over on the page, and I'm going to reveal the layout of S-19, the submarine. And yes, Hugh is going to be found on, he's going to be the kind of the primary PC on the submarine, and everybody else is playing supporting characters. The submarine itself, if you remember, was going to travel along with the cutter and patrol boats for a little bit, and then was going to be split off. And so kind of from north to south, let me head back to the planning map really quickly. Over here on the right, you'll see that the sub is kind of over on the side here, on the east side of town, east side of the village, or east side of Lissingen. Okay. So by this point, the rowboats have departed from the patrol boats, and the S-19 is separated from the patrol boats as well, and it's on its own. And Hugh, you find yourself on the submarine. It's a U.S. Navy submarine.
Sweet, Hugh, of course.
And word has got out either from Commander Robert Harrow himself, who is in charge of the submarine, or perhaps chatting up a number of the 24 crewmen, that the operation is something to do with targeting an unknown undersea target, or at least unknown to the general crewmen around the ship. In time, what was that, please?
Robert's being immature.
Okay, got it. You know, in short order, Hugh, you get to know Commander Harrow. He strikes you as quick thinking And it does appear by the reaction of the other crew members that he's held in high regard by officers and men alike. So they think highly of him.
I like how you split those into two separate things.
What was that?
As in officers or not men.
Yeah. Hugh, give me a luck roll.
Okay. Oh, hang on. Let me get my character up. Character sheet. There. Okay, luck. Where are you?
Oof.
Yeah.
Extreme.
You do come. You make your way at some point during your tour of the boat to the torpedo area, and you do pick up that the torpedoes are in fact a deep water category, deep water mm-hmm. torpedoes, high explosives.
Right.
Okay. All lines up with what you've heard about the mission in general. Also in time, you come across a handful of crew members who perhaps stand out to you, who perhaps seem especially friendly or informative. In fact, one of the first ones that you meet is Lieutenant Commander Franklin Baird. Commander Baird, Lieutenant Commander Baird, would you like to say hello?
Hello. You look like a man of God.
Well, one of these. Yes, well, we of course attend Sunday service, you know, on our estate back in Surrey.
Well, very I'm nice. Glad to hear it. Sounds like we might be able to have a good working relationship.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I would hope so, obviously.
And Lieutenant Commander, what is your role on the sub?
So I am the XO, basically I help the commander run the ship and make sure that his orders are carried out.
Fantastic. Hugh, you are also get to know Petty Officer First Class William Murphy.
Hello, I'm William Murphy. And... and
I don't know. What's a Gersh imitation? Yeah.
Wasn't that the voice he used for his last character?
Sure. I think that's probably my halfling voice from DCC too. I don't know. Petty Officer William Murphy is he's red haired. His arms are covered with tattoos. He comes across as a veteran, and you learn that he is skilled in the use of the 50 caliber machine gun mounted on the deck of the sub. But why would you need that? Hugh, you also come to know Petty Officer Second Class Daniel Burns. Officer Burns, would you like to say hello?
Meh.
There you have it.
Nice meeting you too.
Petty Officer. I wipe my greasy hands and look down at the floor.
Yeah.
Ty's really making me stretch with all my characters.
Yeah, exactly. he strikes you. He's a stout man with short black hair and certainly appears to be a mechanic of some sort on the sub. And then you also meet Lieutenant Craig Hyde. Lieutenant Hyde.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Rather be somewhere else than here.
And where would Hugh find you, Lieutenant Hyde?
In the torpedo room.
Ah, yes, perhaps.
Commanding it.
Lieutenant Hyde was giving you the information about the deep water torpedoes. Perhaps, who knows? All right. And then also on the sub, Hugh, is a man of the cloth. You know, he's certainly in appropriate U.S. Navy attire, but also has the collar that indicates he is an ordained minister. This is Petty Officer Second Class Benjamin Peters. And he introduces himself to you. Hello there, sir. I am Officer Peters. Welcome aboard.
Oh, thank you, Petty Officer Peters. Nice to see a chaplain aboard. I'm sure you'll be quite busy with what we have to come up against.
Well, it yes. It sounds like you perhaps have picked up on the unusual nature of our mission. That the men respond well to spiritual reinforcement in the face of unknown dangers.
It may or may not help. We'll see.
It is God's choice to decide on the response of us, and he will be guiding us along the way, I'm sure.
Let us hope.
All right, so that's kind of the men that you've come across. Again, it's a crew of about 24, plus the commander. What can I tell you about the submarine? It is an S boat, whatever that means.
It's long and hard and full of seamen.
Exactly. it's about 219 feet long, about. Six compartments, as there you'll see there on the schematic. There's a forward torpedo room, a battery room, control room, and conning tower, crew quarters, engine room, and motor room. And each of those six can be sealed watertight. Naturally, it's equipped with diesel engines for surface cruising at about 14 knots, maximum speed, and electric motors for underwater operation. It can safely submerge to a depth of 200 feet. As I mentioned, there's a 50 caliber machine gun mounted on the tower, and there are 12 torpedoes that are available to be fired from four 21-inch tubes in the bow. The vessel uses what's called a hydrophone, which is kind of a form of sonar. And who was the sonar person? I'll figure that out later. Oh, yes, you were introduced also to Petty Officer Third Class Roy Aker. Hello there, sir. Give me a psychology roll there, Hugh.
Okay. Psychology. Oh, it's my day.
Yeah, Roy is he's about 26 years old. He is found in the radio and sonar room, and he comes across as very friendly and outgoing. But you do sense a tinge of nervousness that perhaps he is trying to hide. His smile is broad, but his eyes perhaps tell a different story.
Very good.
Welcome aboard, sir. Glad to have you.
Oh.
If it's a fight they want, it's a fight they'll get.
Well, it's good to hear, Petty Officer Aker. We might just be in for a fight. We'll see.
Yeah. Also in that sonar room is a radio. The sub has two periscopes, which is a search periscope and an attack periscope. You know, ballast tanks. There's a locked armory with rifles and pistols and ammunition. There's no portholes, no natural lights, and no room. All right.
Perfect.
All right. You find yourself along with the sub on the conning tower up above. You're still surfaced with Commander Harrow and a couple of crew members, and you are making your way east of town. You've separated from the cruise ships, the patrol ships, and the cutter. Give me yet another psychology roll there, Hugh.
Oh.
Well, things seem to be going along quite well. And all of a sudden, Commander Harrow leans down and from the conning tower shouts down down below and says, Acre, how about some tunes? Right away, sir.
Oh, I thought we were going to get right at the Valkyries.
Commander turns to you, Hugh, and says, I find in addition to the chaplain, a little music will do us good.
Quite civilized, sir. Yes.
Yeah. And it's a long way to Tipperary, echoes tinnily through the hull of the submarine, and some of the men even start to sing along. It's a sea shanty.
Oh, the Nazis are gonna hear you. I thought I heard singing.
Robert, give me yet even another psychology roll.
You mean Jeff?
You mean Hugh?
What did I
you,
say? Yeah,
Hugh. You said please. Robert.
Yeah, Hugh.
So easily confused.
Oof. Oh my goodness.
Tell me about your mother.
It is inescapable, Hugh, that the music seems to uplift the men's spirits.
Glad to hear
it.
That will change soon.
Well, within short order, the men begin to move around without regard to rank or station. All formalities are dropped in the interest of efficiency, comfort, and practicality. This is a submarine, after all. Quarters are tight. And
it's not gay when we're underway.
Exactly. you even pick up at some point that Chaplain Peters comes aboard, comes above to the conning tower, and he's bestowing some blessings on the men up above. God be with you, my son. God be with you. Blessing, 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 blessing. All right. The sub kind of corners around the one of the capes around town, and Harrow orders the gramophone turned off and directs men to battle stations. And by this point, U.S. Navy vessels are far behind, and the sub slows to a stop in the water. Again, it's a dark February evening, cold. There's perhaps a little bit of mist over the water. And then the captain and all the men up on the conning tower survey the coastline for a moment. And actually, one of them hands a pair of binoculars to you. And if you'd like, you can begin to survey what is probably the beginning at this point, beginning of the operations on land as well.
I'll do that. I'll keep an eye out, see if I can spot anything.
Okay. Yeah, the night is dark, but the stars shine brightly. It's a brisk cold evening. The stars are reflecting off the surface of the water, which is relatively not entirely still, but modest waves. You might remember that Devil's Reef is back in the distance. Devil's Reef is straight out south of the harbor of Vlissingen, and your eyes can't help but notice the way that the moonlight catches Devil's Reef. Why don't you give me a spot hidden roll, Hugh?
Okay. Success.
Yeah. You're not quite sure if it's the motion of the water or the moonlight itself reflecting off that water, but you can't help but get the impression that there's some undulating movement amidst its rocky crags. Strange that.
Commander Harrow, have a look over at the reef.
Yeah, Warner Smith. Sure.
See anything unusual over on the reef there.
The Urania should be over there. There she is. That's the cutter. Mm-hmm. I see her. What should I expect to see?
Well, I want to see if you see anything unusual on the reef itself.
Let me take a look. No, pretty quiet. That's good. Good to hear. Good to see. Pretty quiet over there.
I seem to have noticed some movement over there, but perhaps it was just my imagination. But still, maybe keep an eye on that.
Well, perhaps you could tell me something. I missed the initial briefing because of the other mission that I was on. Sounds like some strange goings on. Is there anything that you could tell me what I expect to face? I understand that you've been to Vlissingen before.
Yes, at the beginning of the war, sir. There are certain elements in Vlissingen that are sort of counter to what we're trying to achieve. I'm not talking about the war either. There are certain people, things that aren't perhaps as natural as you may expect. My team and I have seen a lot in this war, and I'm not talking about Nazis either. So just keep an eye out for any unusual things, and we'll try and get through this.
Well, I've heard talk of fishmen. That sounds ridiculous to me.
Where did you hear this talk?
The men, they talk, you know.
And where have they heard this talk?
Some of them are out on their first cruise here on the S-19. I expect that they perhaps have heard some stories from some of the older crew members, perhaps as a joke.
I wouldn't take those stories so lightly, sir.
I see. Well, be that as it may, it's time to get down to business. And with that, he starts to descend the ladder down to the control room. And anybody who is up on the conning towers probably would be well served to follow him.
Hugh now hear stay. This.
You're going to stay up.
Yeah. Now hear this. Now hear this. This is Commander Harrow. Shortly, we will submerge to a depth of 200 feet and move into position. Prepare for dive.
And with that, the conning tower is evacuated and all the appropriate seals are in place. And you feel the submarines go nose down a little bit as it slides beneath the surface. The crew all are manning their stations, and they're all exchanging kind of these glances of, well, here we go. This is real. I see. All right. Let me do. I guess Gersh isn't here. Hugh, you and anybody else within shouting distance of the radio room hear a call from Officer Petty Officer Third Class Aker, the hydrophone operator.
Commander, this is Aker. I've picked up an echo of a moving object outside. It's drawing closer.
And about this point, you think you're about 50 feet below the surface, heading downwards. In fact, the sub has angled more steeply and is moving downward at quite a steep angle. And you're Hugh, you can actually see the depth meter increasing. And at 70 feet, wham! The sub comes to a complete halt, and a boom echoes throughout the sub. I need everybody, Hugh and everybody else, to make dex rolls.
And this is against our dude.
Your dude, yeah, your dude.
Our dude. It's that number times 5.
Oh!
Is that really a 6 out of 100? 1D divided by 100 isn't going to work, Carl.
All right.
Oops. Hang on.
Carl has rolled a 0.01, apparently.
Nice, Carl.
That's a critical.
It is. One way to get it.
All right. If you passed, you are able to kind of catch yourself from falling. If you failed, you take 1d2 points of damage. And if you fumbled, which would be 96 to 100, you take 1d4 points of damage. But I don't think anybody did. Only roll for
no
for Gersh's guy.
Yeah, I think we all passed. So
Gersh is fine.
1d2?
Yeah.
Can we wait doing this?
Maybe not quite era appropriate, but suddenly klaxons and alarms are going off, and a panic sets out throughout the submarine.
Yeah, I haven't rolled yet. I'll
do this. The sub is groaning and it's creaking. Then suddenly it rolls to port. I need everybody to make another roll, dexterity roll.
I'm still making the first roll. One.
1d2. Almost fumbled. But I passed.
Daniel Burns fumbled.
Hang on. I'm getting there, guys.
No worries.
Another dex roll. Oh!
Let's do it again. Oh, Hugh, huh?
Uh-huh.
Again. Did somebody critical?
Bad knee of mine.
Yeah, Daniel Burns fumbled.
Okay.
Exo passed.
All right. Same deal. If you failed, lose 1d2. If you failed, fumbled 1d4. And Haro, Commander Haro, starts to shout out. Collision! Collision! Stop the engines! Stop the engines!
I guess I better do that, huh?
Hugh, right next to you. Hugh, right next to you, a seal pops. Spraying you with water.
Oh, I suck at this.
She's breaking up!
And then a second boom hits the ship. Kablam! Kablam! Reverse engines! Reverse engines! Hero is shouting. He shouts out to Burns. Burns! Give me all the power you've got! Reverse engines! Reverse engines!
Aye, aye, sir.
Burns, give me a operate heavy machinery roll.
Oof, I think I still passed.
You did, you did.
I'm pretty fucking good at my job.
You did. You've managed to keep the sub from being pulled down even further. But it does no good overall. It stops for a moment and then begins its descent once again. And basically, the sub is heading downward slowly. 75, 85, 95 feet. And in fact, a call comes in from... get my characters right. Lieutenant Hyde, up in the torpedo room, the steep angle has shaken the torpedoes loose, and they fall from their storage area. I need you to make a dex roll. Just you.
I just passed. Actually, I think I've got a,
just passed.
I've got a 75. Right. I've got a 75 dex, actually.
You are able to dodge out of the way of the rolling torpedoes. The torpedoes have torn from their restraints and roll out. They miss you, but they crush a junior officer, apparently to death.
Ah, that's the bastard who restrained those torpedoes. He deserves it.
Yeah.
I'll learn.
Wait. What is
that? Half-assing his job.
What is that noise?
Uh-uh.
Something. One of the crew members next to you, he says, "What is that? It sounds like something is trying to get in." I need everybody to make a sanity roll.
This will be refreshing.
God, Robert's not here.
Now, is this one doubled also?
No.
But, yeah, mine's 55, so I think that probably
yeah,
not.
Yeah, it should be just a straight against whatever's printed there.
I failed.
I'm laughing at this shit. What about you?
I passed.
Dang it.
0-1.
Torpedo guy's keeping it together.
That you rolled in Newton meters there, Carl.
That's right.
Newton rolled in chicken farts.
Yes.
All right. So if you've passed, you lose 1 point of sanity. If you failed, you lose 1d3.
You and Sandy just don't get along, dude.
I had something about me and Sanity. Don't know. It has nothing to do with real life.
But I was going to say, maybe.
All right, so sanity-wise, I need to roll for yours, don't I? All right, all right, so who lost sanity? I need to keep track.
Daniel Burns lost 3. Because Duck was rolling.
All right.
I don't have lost 1.
Hyde lost 1.
Yeah, because he passed, and it was you just lose 1 if you
all
pass,
right?
Yeah,
that's right.
Baird lost 3.
And what about you, Hugh?
Oh, I just lost 1. I passed.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Cool. All right. Yeah, it definitely sounds like something is clawing along the side of the submarine, and it's from the back and to the front and then at the top and then from underneath. It's coming from all different angles at different times. And the sub has maintained its deep angle down, but seems to have stopped descending. But is at, again, at this kind of extreme angle. Haro is holding on to his commander's chair, Hugh, and he turns to you and says, "Warner Smith, what is this?"
"I don't know, sir, but perhaps it's some of your fishmen. I told you, we don't know what we're up against always.
Oh, my goodness.
Whatever it is, it's out there.
I'll tell you, whatever it is, it's not of God."
"For sure. Okay. I got you. All right. Give me the torpedo room. Hyde. This is Commander Harrow. I need you to load torpedoes into the tubes. Set the detonators for minimum range."
"Aye, Captain."
"And you're going to have to work with some of your team members to get those loose torpedoes, but one, you know, you're able to get one of them up. Why don't you give me a strength roll?" 78. Okay. Yeah, you're able to get one and only one up there. You set it for minimum range. "Fire! Fire!" The commander gives the command to fire the torpedo, and you guys actually feel the submarine jostle just a little bit as the torpedo discharges, and then a split second later, it detonates. A huge explosion rocks the sub, And from somewhere outside comes a shrieking, unearthly sub-bass howl.
Mm, great, you made it angry.
And somehow explosions close to the sub just don't seem like a good idea.
Yeah, when he set the fuses to minimum time, I thought what could go wrong?
This howl is unlike anything you or any of the men on the sub have ever heard. I need another sanity roll. And this thing continues to scream.
Still nailing it.
Surprise, I failed.
Yes. And another call comes from the commander. Hyde, give me another torpedo.
Way ahead of you, Captain.
Hyde, give me a strength roll.
You know, I actually failed my first roll. That's 78. My strength, is only 65. So, but this one passed.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So this one's able to get up. You and the other crew members, you load it. Whoosh. The torpedo discharges. The sub shakes. And after a split second, the torpedo explodes again, rocking the ship. And suddenly, all is quiet. If I can remember the command.
Except for all the alarms that are going off because the ship was damaged.
Semicolon, stop.
Damn it. What is it again? Is it
semicolon, stop, or pause?
Oh, okay.
Pause if you want to play it again.
There you go. All right.
So what about the sanity? Yeah.
If you failed, you lose 1d2. If you succeed, you lose 1.
Hey! Oh, didn't roll a 2.
Hugh did. Not that it matters. I've got so much sanity.
Robert will do what he can about that.
All right. Baird, how many points of sanity have you lost in total?
Who's Baird?
Rocket Man.
4.
4 total. Gersh. Gotta roll for Gersh.
What's the die roll command? I don't have a D2 to pick
forward
from.
Forward slash R.
Forward slash roll 1D2.
Yeah, you don't have to type roll. You can just type AR.
Really? It tells me to type the roll. I like following instructions.
It's.
I follow the rules, okay?
Yeah, it's because it's rolling for you in SI unit. That's why.
That's why I keep rolling like 0.7.
Right. Burns, how much total have you lost? How many points
4.
Total?
4.
4 total. Hyde, how many total points have you lost?
3.
3. And Hugh?
In total, 3.
3. Okay. All right. Yes, and so after the second torpedo, torpedo explodes, and that unearthly growl and howl subsides, and it gets eerily quiet.
We got him, boys.
The lights.
Everything's fine.
The lights are still flickering. The lights are still flickering, but the klaxons have stopped. And Commander Harrow, kind of looks around for a moment. Kind of like, what the heck just happened?
How's that leak that's still hitting Hugh in the face going?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, there's a couple of men who started to attend to that. Prepare to surface.
Probably not a bad idea.
Burn and Baird, I need you to make a sanity check each.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, I passed one.
What about you, Dr. Z?
Just missed.
Did you just fail?
I did, yeah.
All right. What is your sanity? A 23 is a miss?
It's now 21.
For this character or for Dr. Z?
For the Baird.
Really? Wow, Baird's fucked up.
He's a religious
guy. Too much. Yeah. He's been serving on a sub for too long.
Yeah, I guess.
Too much old-timey religion, I think.
That's right.
He's giving all his money to the Austins.
And Hugh, you're next to Commander Harrow, and you turn to him as he gives that command, and all of a sudden, Lieutenant Commander Baird, his XO standing next to him, grabs Harrow from behind and sticks a 45 to his head. We're taking this ship out of here, or the commander gets it.
God told me to do it.
He usually does.
And scene.
Nice.
All right. All right.
I'm just glad I'm not Hugh.
So strange things underwater with. 19.
Yeah, I don't want to be fighting the kaiju. That's about the worst.
Mm. All right.
Maybe it's on its way to the surface fleet now.
Let's make our way over to the Navy patrol ships in the cutter.
Good call.
Along with Luscious Harry Cahill.
Luscious waxy skin.
Yeah, I've been working at making my appearance more human.
You taste like parts of that.
So let's take a couple minutes and we'll set the scene. The two patrol boats and the cutter. So we've got the Vigilant and the Spectre. Those are the two patrol boats. And the Urania, I don't really care for that name at all, is the bigger ship, the cutter. Those are U.S. Navy ships. They're small, relatively small in the U.S. Navy, but still appropriate for coastal duty. And they have been traveling. You might remember they departed. You guys kind of loaded up from the U.S. destroyer. And made your way over to Vlissgen. At a certain point along the way, the rowboats that were going to investigate the smugglers' tunnels departed from the cutter, and they've made their way to the kind of western side of town. And then we just kind of finished up with the S-19, who was escorted by the ships to the east side of town. And at this point, or after the S-19 departs, we've got the smaller Vigilant and Spectre, the patrol ships. Patrol boats are just outside of the harbor area of Vlissgen. And then out beyond Devil's Reef is the Urania, which is the cutter. So that's kind of the general setup. Let's take a closer look at the ships themselves. All right, the Vigilant and Spectre are identical patrol boats. They are about 75 feet long. They are manned by a crew of 15 sailors each. They have some mounted machine guns. They've got a 50 caliber belt-fed Browning machine gun forward and two 30 caliber belt-fed Lewis machine guns mounted amidships on port and starboard. So lots of machine guns for potential use. And you'll see that the commander of the Vigilant is Warrant Officer Lewis Henley. And the commander of the Spectre is Chief Petty Officer John Wallace. And then over on the cutter, we've got Luscious Harry Cahill. He is on the larger ship, along with Captain Stephen Hurst. The cutter is about 165 feet long, so a little bit more than twice as long as the other other ships. It's got a crew of 44, including five officers. It's got a 3-inch gun forward and 250 caliber belt-fed Browning machine guns, port and starboard. So a big 3-inch gun and then some machine guns along the sides. And like I said, Captain Hurst is in direct command. Harry, you are aboard the cutter with Captain Hurst. Your impression of him is that he is efficient, but perhaps lacking imagination, or perhaps more politely, he's very much by the book. And in fact, speaking of books, at one point you catch him reading from what appears to be a Bible that he keeps in his breast pocket. And in command of his men, he appears to be rigid and unbending.
Stodgy.
You also notice that he is carrying a sidearm pistol.
That's the... Okay, so we'll see that in Act 3. That's
What was that?
It's, you know, the trope where, oh, you introduce, if you see a pistol, if a pistol is mentioned in Act 1, it will be fired by Act 3.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. Let's see. You wouldn't necessarily have met them. Let's say that perhaps before the ships departed away from the U.S., it was a destroyer, wasn't it? You did get to meet some of the men on the other ships. First off, you met Petty Officer Third Class Derek Chimes. Officer Chimes is stationed on the Spectre. And Officer Chimes, you wanna say hello?
Hello, good to meet you. I'm ready for action.
Yeah. You do pick up that Chimes' kind of specialty is gunnery. You expect him to man some of the machine guns on the Spectre. And you also, from the Spectre, you met Seaman First Class Paul Fulton. Harry, I can't remember. Are you American? I mean, when you were human, were you American?
No, I'm English. I'm from Wolverhampton.
Yeah, you enjoyed meeting Seaman Fulton. Certainly the first Tennessee, good-natured Tennessee boy that you've ever met. In fact, you're enchanted by his backwoods drawl. He strikes you as laid back. Although you do get word from some of the other seamen that he's a good fighter. But he's also stationed on the Spectre. You also meet Seaman Barry Taft, who is on the Vigilant. Seaman Taft, want to introduce yourself?
Hello, sir. I'm Seaman Taft. What the fuck is going on?
Nothing yet, Seaman.
I don't like this. I don't like it one bit, sir.
Yeah, not only is Taft young, Cahill, but he does little to hide the fact that he is nervous, extremely nervous.
You have good reason to be nervous. There's some weird shit going on here.
You're not making me feel better!
Just stick close to Tex there. He'll take care of you.
Why do you look so funny? What the hell is going on?
I'm sure I look totally normal. It's just your imagination running away with you.
No, look at this guy. Did you see this guy?
Shut up, Taft.
Oh, yes, sir. Aye.
All right. And then finally, also on the Vigilant, is Seaman Gene Henson. Seaman Henson?
Yeah, well, you know, my name's Eugene Henson. You call me Gene, you call me Eugene, I'm going to fucking kill you. You got it? Call me Seaman, I'm going to fucking kill you. You got it?
You got it, Eugene.
I don't like how you look at
me. Shut up, Eugene.
You look at me.
You guys, that's okay, because you're not supposed to be looking at me.
You both just made the list.
Can the men avert their gazes from you, please?
Fucking list. You're on the list.
Yeah.
I start rubbing my firearm, my sidearm there. Lovingly.
He has a sidearm. There's too many sidearms on this ship.
It's almost like it's a warship or something.
You know, Captain, I have to say, as somebody who's been the victim of people losing their minds, perhaps there's too many weapons on this ship.
He kind of looks at you strangely for a moment and says, "This is a combat ship. You understand that."
You can't fight. Oh, I know, this is the war room.
This is a military operation. We are raiding a town. Would you like us to use harsh language?
That's advisable.
The wax statue wants to take our guns away.
You people wouldn't have made it 10 feet over the top back in the war.
Oh, uh-oh.
Shut up.
We're one veteran.
All right. Well, the commanders of the respective vessels, they get their men in order, and you know, you guys have set sail, and I don't know, perhaps for the third or fourth time that I've explained it, you drop off the smugglers' tunnels, rowboats, the S-19 departs, and the vigilant inspector have set up outside of the harbor, whereas the cutter is a little bit further out to the south beyond Devil's Reef. And almost immediately upon taking station, the first sounds of the assault in the town are heard echoing out in the distance. There are shouts. You hear reports and of gunfire and even flashes of gunfire from time to time. I need all of the characters. So Harry and all the supporting characters, I need you to make spot hidden rolls. And if you don't have a spot hidden roll skill, use 40%.
Oh. So excited to have one. But it's the same as the default.
Yeah. Same here.
Success.
Oh, look at that.
Failure.
Eight is a... Is that a... No. On a 40, that'll be... extreme. Extreme.
On a 40? Yeah, it would be right at extreme.
One right fifth. At extreme.
One fifth, right? Yeah.
Excuse me.
All right. So who?
Let me roll. So Henson had an extreme.
Okay. Okay. So while you're watching, those of you who've passed, while you're watching or picking up the action from the town, your eyes are distracted for a moment to the water, and you see movement within the water. Some dark shapes have made their way, are making their way kind of like in between the Spectre and Devil's Reef and the Vigilant, and seem to be heading towards the harbor.
Captain?
Naturally,
he's in the water.
Your best guess is if you wanted a better look, you would need to use binoculars.
Let's do that. What are we looking at?
Those of you using binoculars, you spot dozens of man-like shapes.
I believe they're called bioculars.
swimming towards the harbor and the shoreline. They're rising to the surface and then diving below, and to the surface and down below, very smoothly. But they also seem to be large shapes.
Fishmen.
Anybody who was looking with binoculars, give me a sanity check.
I was not.
Does Henson have binoculars or bioculars?
Sure, if you'd like. Anybody who wants to look and look.
I failed.
Oh. I don't think anyone wants Henson to have binoculars, but that's okay. He does.
He's on a different ship, though. Is Henson on the Spectre?
You know what? I'm not sure.
Yeah, anybody who's on the Vigilant, I mean, any of the three ships can use binoculars to see.
I just want to make sure he's not on my ship so he doesn't put a gun to my head at some point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the only other character we've named so
Eugene
far
passes.
Has been the Hearst, the captain.
Yeah, Eugene passes.
All right.
This time.
Anybody fail?
I failed.
All right. It's not too bad because of the distance and the night. You lose one D2 sanity points. All right. And with that, Chief Wallace and Warrant Officer Henley, the commanders of the Spectre and the Vigilant, respectively, they command the patrol craft to close on the shapes. And let's have Rocket Man. Could you make a, you're going to make a, what's called a ship handling roll for Henley. No, you're in the Spectre for Wallace. So you're doing a ship handling roll against a 65. No, you fail. Okay. And then
you crash into the Spectre.
Seriously. Doc, why don't you do one for Henley and the Vigilant against a 55?
All right. Oops. All right.
Passed. So the Spectre makes its way and they close on the shapes. It's having trouble getting into good position. If skilled maneuvering probably would have had more armaments bearing on the targets themselves, but either the close quarters or perhaps the movement of the shapes themselves make it hard to do anything or get in the right position. However, Henley is able to masterfully position the Vigilant so that all of its armaments are to bear on these ships. And so let's have, first of all, Chimes and let's just, well, yeah. So this will be, no, that's the Spectre, isn't it? Rocket Man, you're going to be able to get close enough and arm man one of the machine guns. Okay. Let's make it one of the 30 cals. And you're going to take, you're going to be able to fire a burst of 2d6 shots each. And you can use your gunnery at 60. So first of all, roll 2d6. And that's going to be how many bursts you're going to fire. 7. So I need you to make 7 roll, D100 rolls against 60%. And while we're at it, Duck and Jeff, you can do the same. You're going to be able to get more of the weapons because of the...
Okay, so what are we doing?
So roll 2d6.
Okay.
That's how many bursts you're going to fire.
Okay.
And then for whatever you roll,
that many
roll that many against your gunnery. Duck, you don't have it, so make it 45%.
Okay. Duck has gunnery. I mean, gunnery. Sorry, no, gunnery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mine's 55. Every one of mine hit.
Really? Okay.
55. Okay, so... Okay, so I'm rolling 6 times.
I hit 4 times and fumbled once. 4 hits, 1 fumble.
All right.
Two extremes.
Oh, I can just hit 4 times. Oh, sorry, 6 times. I'll do 5. Boom.
Oh, yeah, I guess that works. Yeah.
Like that, kind of, if we don't look at the total. So I've got...
Just look at the individual numbers.
Two hits. I have to do 1 more. So yeah. I've got 3 hits.
Yeah, if I didn't make... I don't think I made it clear, but your quick guesses are there's probably about 24 or so forms in the water.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's start off with... Chimes on the Spectre. How many hits do you have, Chimes?
Seven hits.
Seven hits.
He's a master gunner.
Head of the Royal Navy.
All right. Why don't you give me seven rolls of 2d6 plus 4? And if you want to let us know how manly you are with your machine, you can give us some flavor.
You want some of this? You want some of this? You want some of this?
And Harry, you start to hear the machine guns firing off in the distance beyond the reef, closer to town.
That's right.
Bullets are splashing through the water.
I'd recommend we support those guys, Captain.
That's right. You want some of this?
What do you mean, Cahill? We're perfectly fine here.
How do you know which one to shoot at?
I don't know. I saw a lot of targets out there, Captain.
Why do you think it's so dangerous? I'm sure our men could handle this. Doesn't look too dangerous.
I'm just saying, keep a sharp eye.
All right, why don't you give me a persuade roll, Harry? All right, Dr. Z, for Chimes, did you have a total of damage?
Oh, total all of them up?
Yeah. Ooh,
extreme on the captain.
20, 30, well, 49.
Maybe you're right.
Seen a lot of things that were innocuous that have turned out to be very dangerous.
72, Dr. Z.
I guess better safe than sorry.
72.
Jones, take us around the reef. Head us to harbor. Line us up behind the Spectre. And the cutter fires up its engines and starts to make its way around the reef, heading towards the Spectre. All right, Rocket Man, what'd we say, 72 points?
72, yeah.
Okay. Duck, how are things looking on your end?
I had 4 hits and 1 fumble.
4
so
hits,
you
all right.
Shot yourself in the leg.
Why don't you give me...
or you've sank the Vigilance, or the Spectre, whichever one you're not on.
Why don't you give me 4 rolls of 2d6 plus 4?
Okay.
And perhaps at the end, describe how your machine gun jams.
Okay.
At the end. And how about you, Hugh, with Henson?
Three hits.
All right. 2d6 plus 4 for each.
All right.
Eight, nine, 14, 14. 21, 31, and 30 for Henson. You wanted my total?
Yeah, give me your total.
17 and 28. 45.
Oh, 45. All right, 45. And your total, Hugh?
30. You,
30.
Yeah. Gene. Gene got 30.
Not Eugene, but Gene.
You're on the list.
All right. So you guys see these masses of a couple dozen forms swirling in the water, and you're lighting it up with machine gun fire. Tell me what happens while I do some quick calculations.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think Barry's definitely, you know, freaking out, screaming at these things as he fires, maybe incoherent screams, and then
Gene's
and
laughing.
Then. He's shooting, and then he traverses the machine gun over, and he fires off another burst, and he's like sweat's pouring down his head, and then and he just keeps firing. There's nothing coming out of the machine gun, mm-hmm. but he's repeating the same actions.
Gene's just cackling his head off, like woohoo, yeah, get some, motherfucker.
Chimes zones in, and basically he's just looking at one after the other. He's zeroed everybody else out. He's focused in.
Yeah, I mean, this is a lot of bullets, and it's not over such a big area. The water is spraying and even foaming in some instances, and you guys are definitely making some contacts. I mean, you're splash, and then fuh, which kind of tells you that there's something that's getting hit. You're making some serious headway, and it over time the hordes that you see in front of you They start to spread out and stop heading towards the town itself into the harbor. They're kind of split between the Vigilant and heading towards the Spectre. And then also, it seems like the numbers are dwindling. You know, perhaps you didn't get them all. Kyle, how about for you and since the cutter has made its way into position around the Spectre, why don't you give me a ship roll, handling roll for Hurst at 70. We'll see if he gets in a good position.
Okay.
79, not quite good enough. Only the port side of the ship can get into position. Still good enough for two machine guns. Let's just have kind of a random sailor. Kyle, why don't you take on a sailor and roll for one of the 30 calibers. You're going to get 2d6, again, 2d6 for the number of bursts. And then that number is going to be your target versus 45%. Does that make sense?
No.
No. Okay, so roll. Do this with me. Roll 2d6.
All right.
7. You got 7. I got 9. So you're going to fire 7 bursts. I'm going to fire 9 bursts. Fire for all 7 of those, your target number is 45 or less.
So and I'm rolling. So that's a D100 for those?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm going to be doing my 2, so it's going to get... Well, do yours first, and I'll do mine after.
So I'm rolling 7 D100s?
Yeah. And for Chimes and Fulton on the Spectre, you actually kind of see... You feel the mass of the cutter approaching. Like, you kind of turn around and... Yeah, Hurst, come on! Some of the men are cheering as the bigger ship approaches.
So that was against the 45, you said?
Yeah.
So that was 6 hits.
Okay. All right, and I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got 5. Okay. And so for each one of those, you said 6 hits for you?
Yeah.
5 hits for me. All right, so for each of those 6 hits, it's going to be 2d6 plus 4 damage.
Oh, for each one, right?
Yeah. And then total them all up for me.
Wait, I guess I don't want to roll all those together with a plus 4. Or will it do? Yeah. Hang on. I guess I got to do all 6 of them, right? As a 2d6.
Yeah. Like, I was just going to copy and paste one at a time. Nice.
6. All right.
Let's see. 24 and 28. $75.
I didn't actually tally him up. I was letting you do it.
Okay.
Because you were watching this, right? So you were responding.
All right, 75. And I got, 24, 34, 38, 48, 51, 60. 60, 75. All right.
We have killed all the frogmen advancing on the town.
Harry, Kyle, in the guise of a crewman on the cutter, letting loose with your machine gun as it rolls up next to the Spectre, what happens?
He just sees the other guys firing, and so immediately, once he recognizes that we're in position, starts blazing away. And hearing that he's having success, he gets more and more enthusiastic, starts shouting, "All right, boys, give it to him!"
Yeah, the the cutter is definitely making a difference. And the water even picks up more spray and more more mist. And actually, some of the by this point, some of the bodies start to even float on the surface of the water. Some of the dead bodies, clearly dead, and they are certainly inhuman. Now, the darkness makes it a little bit hard to tell, though. And with that, it grows the machine gun fire sides, and it grows eerily quiet. And all it's really heard is the motors of each of the ships. In fact, the men are just kind of dumbfounded. And at some point, someone says, "What the hell was that?"
"It's all over, man. Game over, man."
All right.
Do we have spotlights trained on the water, on the ship?
I guess I would. You could, if you'd like.
I would recommend to the captain, make sure we get searchlights. We want to make sure none of these get away.
Okay.
We'll put guys on lights.
And the ship's lights start to illuminate the bodies on some of the bodies on the surface of the water, and you can actually see the oily blackness of fluids or perhaps blood from the bodies of. And yeah, they're very. Are they fish-like? Are they reptilian? They're humanoid. They're larger than man. But they've got scales, they've got ridges, big bulging eyes. You make out some webbed hands and feet.
So this is going to be good for Taft.
Some of the men are looking over the rails of some of the ships, and they're like, "Oh my God, what the hell is that? What are those?" But Henson, Gene Henson, he thinks he's shown him a thing or two, haven't you, Henson? And Henson starts to cheer on the men. Right, Henson?
Henson.
Jeff. Who's Henson?
That's your cue.
Sorry, can you repeat my instructions?
Yeah, you... Where some of the men are rattled by the situation, your bravado is up. You're like, "Yeah, we showed
them." "Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, get those motherfuckers. Yeah.
We showed those motherfuckers.
Yeah. Get some."
Checking these assholes off my list.
Do we have a gaffy stick where you can grab one of these things to see what the heck it is?
Let's do that again.
All right. I mean, there's probably something you could pull. Pull something in.
No need to look too closely, men. I'm sure these are just German frogmen with experimental deep sea diving suits.
Yeah, Chimes,
look closer.
Chimes, you find kind of one of those. I don't know. In my head, I've got like one of those for a swimming pool with the metal chain at the end that you can kind of pick things up with, drowning people. Okay, you grab that off the wall, and what do? The ship is low enough and close enough.
Go ahead. Yeah, basically, if I can hook around, one of the ones that's not moving, see if I can hook it and pull it towards the boat and ship and pull it in.
Okay. Yeah. And Fulton is helping you out. He's no. No. He's directing the motor, the wheelhouse. No. Look closer to port. We're getting there. Chimes, give me a spot hidden roll, and if you don't have it on your sheet, what did I say before? 45. I can't remember what I said. Let's make a
40. Mine has 40.
Yeah, 40. Okay, let's do 40.
You said 45.
Okay.
I passed either way.
All right. You're leaning forward and you're about ready to grab one of these things, but from the water jumps up one of these creatures, and his arms are outstretched. He's like shooting out of the water towards you, and he tries to grab you around the neck, and he just misses you, and he shot out of the water up the side of the ship, missed you, and then right back down, almost like a dive. And the men on the ship turn, and it looks like there are four of these creatures that are on the Spectre.
Okay, screw the guy in the water. Let's start pulling my gun out, my rifle, and I'm gonna start firing at these guys that are on the boat.
Yeah, Taft Henson, I need you to make spot hidden rolls.
Aye. Okay. Shit.
Yeah, I ain't gonna do it.
Spot hidden.
Taft just fails.
Taft failed. Okay.
Hang on. Oh, there it is.
Harry, I need you to make a spot hidden roll.
Oh, come on.
Success.
All right.
Success. Yeah. Yes, success, just.
All right. So basically, those of you on the Spectre have detected a handful of these creatures, let's say four of them. But it's, you know, certainly they're spooky and scary, and they're sloshing around on the deck of the ship. And they seem to be moving kind of slowly, as if they're having trouble getting around. And they're approaching you. But you guys have got the jump on them, on the Spectre. And basically, with 15 men on the ship versus four of these creatures and enough rifle shots, these creatures are pretty easily dispatched. However, things aren't going as well over on the Vigilant. And in fact, Taft, you are in hand-to-hand combat with one of these creatures. He's wrestling with your weapon. You've got your a rifle in front of you, and he's turning and twisting, and you're in hand-to-hand combat. Give me a fighting roll of some sort.
Is it Taft, you said? Sorry.
Yeah, Taft.
Spacing out.
And Henson, you're going to give me you've got your 45 available. Why don't you give me a 45 automatic roll?
All right. I'm going to, I guess I'll punch or brawl.
Okay.
It's a 65. Ooh.
Nice.
Hard.
All right. So you succeeded. Why don't you give me some damage rolls? What do you got there? You hit him with the butt of your rifle, perhaps.
Okay.
Palpable hit.
I get a damage bonus.
Probably.
My punching is 1d3.
Yeah. Plus my damage bonus. Why don't you do give me a club? So 1d6 plus 1d4.
Plus my, okay.
Yeah.
Take that. Did that add it in? No, it did not. Hold on. Well, that was my 1d6.
Okay.
Okay, so six.
Six total. And then, Hugh, you made it for your guy, Henson?
Yes.
All right. Your 45 is a 1d10 plus 2.
1d10 plus 2. Ten.
Nice.
Ooh, nice.
So 6 and 8 is 14. Okay. Yeah. This between the hit. This is the only creature that appears to be on the Vigilant. You shot him, Hugh. Henson, tell me, Hugh and not Robert, but Duck. Tell me what happens with this combat against this one. Fish-like, lizard-like.
It's Eugene, creature. Right? Jeff's character is Eugene, and I'm Barry.
Gene.
Yeah.
Gene
and Barry, yeah.
Lighten up, Francis.
So, he kind of springs up, and Barry's like, just in utter panic on his face, just swings his rifle butt around, smacks him on the face, and he goes staggering back. And then Gene has his, I guess, is it your 45. Rifle on him?
I got a 45.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. You finish him.
And I just like stick it right. I stick it right in his face, and I just like start squeezing the trigger until the action's all the way back, and there's nothing left in the.
And it falls with a splat on the deck of the ship, and it's clearly dead. And naturally, I forgot to mention. Why don't you, the two of you, plus sanity. Chimes? Why don't you guys give me some sanity rolls? Chimes is you, Rocket Man.
I failed. Barry failed.
Failed.
All right. If you fail, 1d6 sanity points.
1d6.
Let's see if I can duck this roll. Yeah. Oh, only two.
In addition to his looks, the fish-like smell is quite powerful. I mean, this thing is emanating. These things are emanating some serious fish-like.
I am not eating tuna tonight.
Again.
Again. And then finally, over on the cutter, Kyle, you made it for the ship. You made your spot hidden, right?
Yes.
One of these creatures also leaps up from the water. Actually, it crawls over the railing. The ship is quite a bit higher. It crawls over the railing and tries to grab you, misses, and apparently frustrated, grabs another crew member and jumps into the water. Splash! Splash!
Get a light down there.
And the lights train on the area where the creature and the seaman went under, and all is quiet.
You said seaman.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Machine gun fire is ceased. The combat on the ships was brief, and the waters are again quiet. And Captain Hurst turns to you, Harry, and says, I see what you mean. He kind of lets out a chuckle and gets on the radio. This is Captain Hurst, Vigilant Inspector, back to positions. And the cutter makes its way back to the reef. Harry, back in true Harry form, Harry character. Why don't you give me a psychology roll?
Failed.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, not so much happiness. You do detect that the men are somewhat overjoyed or somewhat joyous in their recent battle. They're satisfied with the success or the victory, what appears to be a victory. But perhaps a little bit cautious in what appears to be their first engagement.
All right.
Some of the men begin to, like I said, the cutter is making its way back to Devil's Reef. And on all the ships, some of the men are starting to get out buckets and mops, and they're starting to swipe up the blood that was on the ships from some of the combat. Perhaps, one of those creatures is grabbed from the water and started to be brought on board. There's blood and brain splatter across the deck. Let's see. Taft and Henson, you've got this creature at your feet. You're certainly welcome to check it out if you'd like. You're struck by its large, sharp claws and the webbed fingers and its claws. And at this point, the cutter is making its way around Devil's Reef, and then all of a sudden there's a scream. My God, what is that thing? And I need Harry, give me a con roll. A retching odor
Oh my.
Has been carried by the wind to the ship.
Ah. I can't really smell, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. You sense the smell, but your strange body composition is able to. I was going to say you're going to keep your lunch down, but you don't really eat anyway. But yeah.
I don't breathe either, so that's probably why I don't smell very very good, because
exactly,
I don't breathe.
Exactly. So. Yes, but over from the direction of where the submarine was last seen, the wind is blowing from there to out towards Devil's Reef. And let's say if you can see my highlights here, but the cutter is right here. And let's see if I can draw this.
Can we actually see anything out there, or is it too dark?
Yes, you see something floating in the water. End scene.
I was just about to have the captain open up the gun on the bow.
All right. So that is the end of the objective 4, at least, or the first scene from objective 4. And let's stop there. What was next? No, I can't do it. Gersh. Okay. I was probably going to do it anyway, but let's stop there for the night. We will pick up. I think we were looking good for 2 weeks, at least last time I checked.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if I remember,
2 weeks from now.
Yeah, we're going to need Gersh for that one.
24th.
Yeah,
I'm good.
In the next session, we will be on land. See how the on land raid is going.
Nice. Very good. This is cool.
Yeah, right.
This is pretty cool.
Yeah, good stuff, guys. Thanks a lot. Thanks for playing along. And we'll pick up in a couple.